Boker Tov. So we're ready for the grand beginning of the 14th cycle of the Daf Yomi, and we're going to do it in a new way this time. We're going to try to do a complete review of the Daf, assuming that everybody has got all of the basic concepts correct, and I'll send out in advance where there are concepts that you're going to have to get used to before the Daf begins. Today, we don't really have anything special. But in general, if you want to be part of the DAF notification group, please let me know and we'll add you in. So we're going to try to finish up in 20 minutes. I'll set my trusty clock over here. Hope it's trusty. And we should have the Siyata Dishmaya to go through this clearly and quickly. And then we're going to start doing our Mishnayot for those of you who can stay until the end of the hour to finish correctly. Really finish us, so we'd have to finish up our Mishnayis, Bezrat Hashem. So we start with the concept of a Kriyat Shema. Now we're going to see that this idea of Kriyat Shema actually takes us into the concept of Seder Zroim as a whole. Remember that Seder Zroim is identified in Masechet Shabbos as Emuna, based on the Pasuk V'Ayah Emuna Sitecha Chosin Yeshua Tzchokhma V'Da'at, which means that all of the inyonim that have to do with creation, that have to do with our understanding of what we mean when we say Hashem Echad in Kriyat Shema, are all part of this Besechet and has to do with the way in which we view reality. Because of that, the Besechet is also involved in our relationship to reality. Because of that, it's a Besechet that even deals with the nature of consciousness, with the nature of dreaming, with the nature of the connection that we have to the concept that we call spirituality in general. And therefore, there's all types of things which on the surface, if you don't understand why it is that Zroim is Emunah and the relationship to the earth, which is expressed in Kriyat Shema itself, remember that everything that we read about is about the rains and about the blessings of our agriculture and so on. That is a fundamental way in which we are connected to the earth and therefore begins Zraim. And it's our emuna, which is our overall stance vis-a-vis the world. It has nothing to do with faith in God. And the beautiful way that the Yerushalmi puts it is emuna means that God had faith in the world and created it. So it's a very, very different way of looking at things. She'emin ba'olamo. And that's, I think, puts everybody on notice about what we mean by emuna. So that what we're talking about over here is this new idea of a mitzvah to read certain psukim. Now on the surface, people believe that Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah of Kriyat Shema at night and Kriyat Shema in the day. It turns out that according to most of the shitot of the Tanoim, there's no such thing, because the Torah never talked about the night and the day. The Torah talked about b'shoch b'cha uvkumecha, which means that the nature of Kriyat Shema per se has to do with circadian rhythms within our biological selves, rather than by astronomical phenomena, which would define night and day. If that's the case, then this complicates matters very much, because in order to establish what the Zman of Kriyat Shema will be, we will have to take a look at the way that we are biologically inclined or evolved to take advantage of those rhythms. And it's because of that that the Mishnah and the Braita that we're going to have all of this today's daf are involved in things that don't seem to have anything to do with the definition of day and night per se, but they have definitions of how human beings respond to light and darkness. So let us begin. Meimatai korin et shema ba'arvin. Misha'a she'akohanim nichlasim le'echol b'trumatan ad sof ha'ashmura harishona divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Now this gives us our first indication that we are not talking about day and night, because the very fact that we would use a simon of eating is strange. Whatever excuse we give for it in the Gemara, which we will give, still does not explain how you could talk in this particular context about eating as a way to identify when to say Kriyat Shema. If, however, we understand that the nature of Kriyat Shema is defined by our own response to circadian rhythms, then, in fact, eating for the night, which we'll see later on in the Gemara, has to do with going to sleep at night, which the norm is you come in from the field. The Gemara is going to explain this later. You come on from the field, you eat a little bit, and you fall asleep in your clothes. And you assume you'll get up later, which you probably won't. But anyway, that would be the normal way in which a person who works out in the fields would respond. And that has a lot to do with this. So the Kohanim, if they're Tamei, will only become Ro'i to eat Truma after Tzeta Kochavim, which happens to be an astronomical phenomena, but is not the point of the nature of the Kriyat Shema Balayla. Atzof Ashmura Rishona refers to the second issue that we're going to be seeing. The Ashmura Rishona is a very strange way, as if there are watches. What does watching mean? If what you mean is the end of the third of the night, then you should say so. If you mean the end of the fourth of the night, you should say so. And the Gemara will ask this question. It turns out that Ashmura Rishona is itself one of the ways in which the concept of emunah and the way in which a human being interrelates with a different level of reality is meant to be expressed. And therefore, he uses the Ashmura so that it touches upon the ideas of the way we relate to the world, which is emunah. The Chachamim say it's actually until midnight. Now, midnight violates our sense of circadian rhythms. Because, I mean, after all, midnight is, in fact, an astronomical phenomenon. So, Rebbe Gamliel says, look, it isn't midnight, it's the time of Amud HaShachar, when you first get that first light of the day, way before, 90 minutes before the time of the actual sun being visible above the horizon. Now once, Rabbi Gamliel's kids came back late from partying at a wedding, and they said to him, oh my God, we missed Kriyat Shema, it's after Chatzot, what do we do? Do we rely on you, or do we rely on the Mishnah that said, at Chatzot, I mean, after all, Dad, you're only a dat yachid. Amar lem, believe me, im lo ala amud hashachar chayavim atem likro. Everybody agrees that if it's not yet Amud HaShachar, you still are midyoraita, you have to read. Because when the Chachomim said Chatzot, they don't mean that that's the real time of Kriyat Shema. V'lo zu bilvad amru, this is not the only time that the Chachomim used the word Chatzot as an artificial time which they created. The truth is, kol ma she'amru Chachomim at Chatzot mitzvatan ad she'ya l'Amud HaShachar. Those words until midnight should always be a simon for you that we're not talking about the actual Diyaraita. Because, look, always a mitzvah at night is to alot hashachar. For instance, hekter chalavim ve'evarim mitzvatan ad she'yaleh mud hashachar. That means also that kol ha'ne'echalim le'yom echad, if you're mechuyev to eat this korban, you're mechuyev to eat it ad she'yaleh mud hashachar. But nonetheless, the Chachamim said, no, stop eating at chatzot. No, stop saying Kriyat Shema at Chatzot. So, im kein lama amru chachamim at Chatzot. Only kedei laharchik adam min ha'avera. If you think you've got a lot of time, you will end up procrastinating. Tana hecha koyki koni me'ematai. I have two questions. When you start a Mishnah, what is the Mishnah referring back to? From when? Meaning, what from when? Who said there is such a thing bichlal? Don't we usually start explaining things that need to be done in the daytime first? After all, the korban tamid, the Torah describes in terms of the mitzvah of the tamid hayom first, not the tamid halayla. Tana akroakai, the posik says, b'shoch b'cha uvkumecha, v'achi katani, zman kriyat shema of b'shoch b'cha, which is the evening. When is that? Now, it's not. It has nothing to do with night. It has to do with the time I go to sleep. I happen to go to sleep at night. So that is Mishasha Kohanim Nechrasin Lecho B'Trumata. Or, I could answer the other question of Ibait Ema. The reason that we spoke about the Chiev of the night first is because the Torah describes what happens at night first. Dechtiv Vahi Erev Vahi Boker Yom Echad. And therefore, we will always start with a mitzvah of the night time before the daytime. Wait a minute, if that's true, Yaki Sefer Tiktori B'Shachar Mevarach Shtayim Lefaneha, V'Achat L'Achareha Be'erev Mevarach Shtayim Lefaneha V'Shtayim L'Achareha, Litnei Da'arvit Bereisha, if your second answer is correct, which is only an answer to the part of the question that was, what is it that makes us talk about the mitzvah of the nighttime before the daytime, so then when we list the number of brachas that we say before Kriyat Shema and after Kriyat Shema, in the morning and in the evening, should we not also list the mitzvah of the nighttime first? And yet it says the mitzvah of the daytime. Well, Tana Patach Ba'arvit V'Hadar Tani B'Shacharit. We did it right. We opened with the nighttime. However, there's also a concept of structure that has to do with following through with a thought. So, Ad Dekoy B'Shacharit, Parash Mile D'Shacharit, as we're in the middle of dealing with Shacharit in the second stage, we then start saying, okay, how many brachas are there? And then once we do that, we say, and what about in the nighttime? How many brachas are there? Omar Ma. Now, in reality, when do Kohanim get to eat their truma if they were tameim? And it doesn't matter how many days they're tamei for, in terms of, let's say, they're tamei for 7 days. At what point are they considered to be ro'i for eating truma? Because if they're tamei for 7 days, then they may have to bring a korban on the 8th day. So then, would that mean that they have to wait till the morning? No. In fact, from Tzeta Kochavim, they're allowed to eat truma. So Milta Agavur, why not just say so? Because Milta Agavur Kamashma. Kohanim Eimat Kach Lebetruma, the Mishnah wanted us to know, look at the fact that Kohanim eat truma at night, which must mean that it's Bishat Tzeta Kochavim. And that teaches us that even if they need to bring a korban on an 8th day, the korban only prevents them, if they hadn't brought it, from going into the Beit HaMikdash, but does not prevent them from eating truma. And that teaches the kapara lo ma'akva. The kapara of the korban is not a problem. Kiritanya. Uba ha-shemesh v'tahar. Now, the pasuk is talking about the ability to eat the truma, and it says, Uba ha-shemesh v'tahar v'achar yochal min ha-kodashim, which is a reference to truma, kilach mogu. What does Uba ha-shemesh mean? Uba Shemesh means the sun sets. And then Vetaher means that the day then is completely gone and it's now dark and the stars are shining. So that shows Tzeta Kochavim is the time to eat. Because it says Vachar Yochal. How do you know to read it that way? You're reading Uba Shemesh, the sun sets, and then Vetaher means, and the day was completely cleared away, meaning there was no more light, and now the stars are shining. Maybe it means, indeed, that Kapora is Ma'akev, this is how Rashi understands it, Dilma Biat Orohu, and it means the sun comes up, it starts to shine. And then when it says V'taher, it means, you, Mr. Cohen, go get yourself Tahar, V'tahar Gavra, Omar Rabba Bar of Shila, because if it was a command to the Kohen to go and bring his korban, so then Leimakrova Yittaher, again, you have to go make yourself Tahar, my Vittaher, and it became Tahar automatically. Means Tahar Yuma, that the day has been cleared away. Kide Amri Inche, Iarev Shimsha, Va'at Keyuma. This is a common way of people talking. Man, the sun has set and the day has gone away. This is the way Rashi learns, and it's very consistent with the concept of the din of nighttime as opposed to morning time, which would have been the need for kapara. Tosus does not like this approach, even though it's very consistent with the Gemara, for various technical reasons, but that uba doesn't mean sunrise ever, says Tosus. It should say yatsa shemesh or zaraka shemesh. Therefore, Tosus understands the question to be more focused on an issue which is a tangential issue. How do you know that we're supposed to wait until Tzeta Kochavim? Maybe Uba Shemesh means the beginning of sunset, and Vitaher means at that time the person should go to the mikveh, which would mean at Shkia instead of Tzeta Kochavim. And V'yitaher, according to Tosfos, is not because it would be the thing to say, because it would not be a command. Maybe it would mean he becomes Tahar automatically. Why should it say V'yitaher? Says Tosfos, you're right, but only in order to avoid the confusion of the possibility of reading it as Tzeta Kochavim. Okay, that's a very different approach. Rashi is much clearer in terms of Kapora, evening versus morning, which is sun setting and stars versus bringing a korban in the morning. Now, b'ma'arav ha'hada rabba b'arav shila lo shmi'a lahu. They didn't understand how to derive it from the pasuk, and therefore, mi boy le mi boy, How do we read that pasuk? Shall we read the pasuk Uba Hashemesh Bi Hashimsha and V'tayra Tarayuma, which would mean Tzeta Kochavim, or perhaps we should read it Odilma Biat Oro Umay V'tayra Tarayuma Gavra. Maybe the way to read it is the sun rises and V'tayher, you Mr. Cohen, go bring your korban. And then Pashtulami Braita, they brought a raya not from the pasuk, they only knew the Misora from the Braita, Midiktani Braita. Siman ledavar, tzeta kochavim. Now this word siman ledavar is extremely important for our understanding of the sugya. Siman ledavar is telling us it is not the fact of sunset or stars, tzeta kochavim, that's the issue. The issue really is when the Kohanim eat. But the siman, if you don't know what that time is, look out the window. If you see Tzeta Kochavim, then you know you can read Kriyat Shema because it would mean Kohanim would be eating, you see? So even the word Siman Ladavar is itself further this concept of rhythms, biological rhythms, rather than astronomical phenomena. But in any event, since it says Siman Ladavar Tzeta Kochavim, Shema Mina Biat Shimsho, Umay V'Taher, Taher Yuma, the day has passed. Now, in the Mishnah we read, Mishasha Kohanim Nichlasim Lecho B'Trumatan. Problem is that in a Braita we have a very different way of understanding it. V'Ramini, Me'ematai Korin Hatshva Ba'aravim, Mishani Nichnas Lecho Pito B'Melach, Ad Shasha Omeh Pipater Mitoch Se'udato. Now note that it says, when a poor man comes in to have a little bit of a bite, what's his bite? A piece of bread dipped in salt, because that's basically all he has to eat. Now, a person like that does not need time to prepare a meal. It means he walks in from his work, he looks in the kitchen, sees a piece of dried bread, takes a piece of dried bread, and eats it. A normal person makes a whole to-do about eating. So on the simplest level of a human response to the day, you finish your work, you don't have much else to do, you walk into your home, grab a bite, and go to bed. Now, this seems to be an earlier time. And then it says, Acha Asho Medli Pater Mitoch Se'udato, from the time that he's ready to wrap up his meal. Well, that is not the end of the Ashmura Rishona. Believe me, nobody sits eating a piece of dried bread and salt while he sits watching TV. It ain't much fun. So basically, he wraps up his meal rather quickly, right? Not to mention the fact, this guy's got no electricity. He can't afford artificial lighting. So he wants to do this during the daytime as much as possible. He's not going to be sitting there in the dark. So because of that, the seif of Vadei Pligya Matnitin, because that's too early to be the Sof HaShmura Rishona. But what about the first part? Is the first part different? Is this Ani a different time than the Kohen? Reisha Milema Pligya Matnitin? Not necessarily. We could assume that the Ani and the Kohen is all one time. V'Raminu? Problem is, we have even more times. Look at all of these different shittot. V'ramino. Me'imatay matchilim likrot kriyat shema ba'aravim. Misha'a shebnei adam nichlasim lachol pitan ba'arve shabbatot. Divrei Rabbi Meir. First time. People come in early on Erev Shabbos because the meal is all prepared. They don't need to take time. And because of that, it would be an early time for everyone on Erev Shabbos. So says Rabbi Meir. Dechachomim omrim. Which is the brayta we referred to earlier. Now, we do not have absolute proof of this, but we do have an indication that work time is during the day when the light is still available, and that after that, it would be time for our nighttime activities. Shenema, v'anachnu osim b'mlacha, they're describing here what it took to build the walls around Yerushalayim and to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. And what they used to do was we had to work very quickly. Half of us had to be standing there with rifles and machine guns while we worked because they were trying to interrupt our work. And we worked from Alot HaShachar until Tzeta Kochavim. Now, this is an indication that the time of work is until Tzeta Kochavim. which would mean that our biological rhythms should start our sleep response at Seta Kohalim. For some reason, the Gemara brings a further pasuk, V'omer, V'hayu lanu halayla mishmar, V'hayom melacha. What is that pasuk proving? Now, if the din of Kriyat Shema was a din to say at night, then the reason we needed to have this pasuk is obvious. How else would we know that Seta Kohalim is called night if we wouldn't have brought this pasuk? Here it's calling it night. Vayu lanu alayla mishmar vayom melacha. That proves daytime was work time, and nighttime was from Tzeta Kochavim. Yet for some reason, the Gemara asks, why do we need the second pasuk, which is an insane question. Of course we need the second pasuk, because how would we know when night is? Once again, gentlemen, we don't care when night is. That's why we're asking, what do we need the second pasuk? We need to know what our responses are to daylight and to darkness. That's what we need to know. Therefore, asks the Gemara, what do we need to know when night is? So what's the point of this extra pasuk? Because I'll tell you. Remember that we're describing an unusual case over here in which there was a tremendous rush to get the job finished. Now, if there's a tremendous rush to get the job finished, people may be working longer than they would usually work. Maybe normally people stop working the moment it starts to get a little bit dark in the day. I don't know. So, normally, as soon as the sun starts going to the west, it's nighttime, I don't want to work anymore. These guys were working extra intensely, in which case it wouldn't mean that we could learn anything from it. Therefore, we bring the pasuk to say, look, we kept our entire working time, our daytime, which was our normal work, we used it for working. But the nighttime, which we normally would have used for sleeping, we used for standing guard with our machine guns. That's the point. And therefore, it teaches us that it's actually the time to work. It's the entire day until Tzeta Kochavim. Now, at this point, we believed that Ani and Bnei Adam is all one shear. If you're going to tell me, this is the Bnei Adam on Erev Shabbat, right? Now, if you're going to tell me that it's also the same shear as the other din, that Ani and Kohen is also one shear, then everybody's saying the same thing, because then the Chachamim is exactly the same as Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir said when people come in on Erev Shabbat. We can't have everybody saying the same thing, obviously. Ela Shmamina must be that there are at least two different times. Ani is one shear, Kohen is another shear, and apparently Erev Shabbat for normal people is yet another shear. Not necessarily. Maybe we were right the first time, and the Ani and Kohen is one time, but the Ani and Bnei Adam is not the same time. You assume that because an Ani doesn't need preparation, and because Erev Shabbos doesn't need preparation, they're all the same time. That is not necessarily true. But wait a minute. I can prove to you that Ani and Kohen is not Kachi Yoruhu. V'raminu, take a look at the Braita. Now here we're going to get all of the Shitot. From the time of Shkia, when Shabbos becomes Shabbos, and you have to start doing Malacha. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer, which contradicts what he said before, but we'll worry about that later. Rebbe Yoshua says, like our Mishnah, Rebbe Meir says, no, even from the time that the Kohanim go to the mikveh to eat Betrumatan. Says Rabbi Yehuda, what? Kohanim go to the mikveh in the middle of the day, for God's sake, because they have to go before Shkia. And you're talking about Seta Kochavim, and Seta Kochavim is like, I don't know, it's like an hour later, nine, whatever the Shira is. So 90 minutes later, okay, we'll assume that it's an hour later. Or that it's three quarters of a meal later, a chatzi meal. Rashi seems to misquote things, but in any event, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we have a long time between those two times. How could you say they go to the mikveh then? That is considered to be Zman Kriyat Shema at night. Rabbi Chanina Omer, Mish'ash Ani Nichlas Lecho Pito B'melach, which we mentioned before. Rabbi Achai, some say it's Rabbi Acha, says, it's the time that most people come in to lie down and have a nice, beautiful meal. Some say this is a reference to Erev Shabbos, and some say this is a reference to every day, as Rashi brings. Now, If you're going to tell me that the Ani and the Kohen are the same time, then Rabbi Hanina, who said that it's the Ani, boils down to the Rabbi Yoshua, who says that it's the Kohen. You can't have two times that are exactly the same, then they're represented by two different shitas. So obviously, Shema Amina, Shira the Ani Lachud, Shira the Kohen Lachud, Shema Amina, obviously these are two completely different times. Now, the question is, what is the order of these times? Hai Minayu Mu'uchar, which time is later? Well, Mistavra the Ani Mukhar makes sense that the poor person's eating his piece of bread is later than the immediacy of the Tzeta Kochavim. Because if you're going to tell me Ani becomes before, then Rabbi Hanina, who said the case of Ani in this Braita, boils down to Rabbi Eliezer, which is the time that Kiddush Hayom on Erev Shabbos, which is Shkia. Because your alternative, and here's a very important yesod, as Tosis explains, these times are very loose times, correct? Because they're not really astronomical times. They're completely loose. I mean, tell me the time that Ani comes in. I mean, what are you talking about? The guy doesn't own a watch. That's for darn sure. So we certainly don't have a complete, exact description of what this time is. We're talking about a biological response to the sun setting, correct? So that's going to extend over, I mean, I would imagine at least 15 minutes variation from one day to the next. Now, if that's the case, then if you have another loose time, which also has a 15-minute variation, then they're going to overlap. It doesn't make sense, Astosis, to put loose times of this nature and try to fit them into the astronomical tight time of Misha Kiddush Hayom until the end of that Shkia Tzeta Kochavim. I mean, that's crazy. So therefore, if we're talking about an 18-minute gap, I mean, there's no way that we could have two times in that time. It must be, therefore, Lav Shema Amina, the Ani could only be later. So that makes sense to be later. So we start with the Shkia, go on to Tzeta Kochavim, and then we have a later time when a poor person is able to sit down and eat. Getting back to Rabbi Yehuda's Taina. Omar Mar, Amar Le Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Kohanim Mi Ba'od Yom Hem Tovlim. That is a darn good point. Shapir Karmel Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir's response is, yeah, it's a darn good point if you think I agree with you about how to describe when the Bein HaShemashot is. You think there's a long time between Shkia and Tzeta Kochavim. Well, I got news for you. I don't agree to that. Rabbi Meir, okay, come. Misavet Anana Bein HaShemashot Didach Koyamina. You think I believe in your understanding of Bein HaShemashot? Absolutely not. I believe in Rabbi Yossi's Ben Hashmashot. Ana Ben Hashmashot, the Rabbi Yossi Kamina. The Om Rabbi Yossi Ben Hashmashot, Kerav Ayin. Ben Hashmashot is a blink of an eye. There's an instant. Zenichmaz v'zayotze. The nighttime comes in, the daytime goes out, and that's it. V'yev shalamod alav. Therefore, the Kohanim go to the mikvah. By the time they get out of the mikvah, there's only another second left for Tzeta Kochavim. And therefore, the Zman of Kriyat Shema, being as we're talking about, again, a biological time, is not dependent on the literal astronomical definition of Tzeta Kochavim. It's a few seconds before also, because people start responding before. Brilliant. Okay, gentlemen, that is our first daf with a little bit of an introduction to Brachot, and we shall start a recording of the beginning of our new idea, which is Mishnayot.